algae can be the biggest obstacle for beginners in the hobby. It can quickly become overwhelming. In this episode, we hear from famed aquascaper Dave Chow on a new product designed to help with algae, and we share our pro tips on algae management. This is Scape Foo, episode 20, Algae in the Planted Aquarium. Let's go.
Podcasting from always sunny Miami, Florida.
The cruise capital of the world.
And home to alligators and supermodels.
This is the Scape Foo Podcast, a weekly podcast about the art and science of aquascaping.
And now here's your host, author, and Scape Foo master, Art Phanom.
Hey, hello, and welcome to Scape Foo, the podcast about the art and science of planted aquariums and aquascaping. I'm your host, Art Phanom. With me, as usual, is JJ. JJ, how you doing?
I'm good. Morning, everybody.
Morning. I think JJ needs his coffee like I do. Also with us, as usual, is our professional aquascaper, Yudis. Yudis, how are you?
It's already 2:30 in Germany.
Ah, okay. So you're gonna be more awake than we are here. Okay. Why don't we get straight into aquascaping news? I think we have a long show today focused around algae, and we certainly want to hear from Dave Chow and what he has to say about this new product. So let's do that. Okay, only one item in aquascaping news today, and that's just a reminder about the aquatic experience taking place in Chicago this year, November 7th and 8th. They recently released a new YouTube video that I think gives you a good glimpse as to how it's going to be and what you can expect. So we'll have a link to that YouTube video and the aquatic experience site in the show notes. You can reach the show notes at scapefoo.com/20. So with that, guys, why don't we listen to the Dave Chow interview that was done by Yudis at InterZoo this year. And then we'll be back on the other side to discuss this product and algae management. Sound good?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, yep. Let's go. Here we go.
Hello, this is Dave Chow.
Yes, I'm Dave Chow.
Sure you are. I'm sitting in front of you. And we're going to talk now about TwinStar, which is quite new on the European market. And yeah, I think still unknown in the US. So maybe, Dave, you can tell us something about it.
TwinStar is a Korean product, especially for the aquarium, not mainly for aquascaping and water plants. And they have another products for the keeping the fish and the shrimp. But I test this product 1 year ago. The boss of TwinStar gave me a sample to test in my tank. He said that this can inhabit the green algae growth, but I didn't know it's good or not before. So after 2 months of testing, then I found that because I placed the TwinStar in a tank, old tank with many kind of algae, but after 2 months I found the green spot of on the glass wall is disappear someday. So I try to find out what's happened. Is that the TwinStar or another problem? Then after that, I discussed with my colleague. Then I found that this the point TwinStar working. Mm-hmm. Then after that, I try to order the TwinStar to selling in Hong Kong. The reason why it's working, I think, I know from the TwinStar company, they say that the bubbles come out from the device is the pure oxygen. But in my opinion, the device is a kind of electrolyte. When it turn on the power, then there is some reaction and come out the bubbles with the some anion. The anion, which kind of anion I didn't know, but I have searching some kind of anion can help the power to kill the membrane of some algae and bacteria. So mm-hmm. this is kind why they say that they can inhabit the algae growth, because the green algae baby, we call it spore, is floating in the water. Then they can, when the bubble comes out, then the ions can break the membrane of the cells of the spore. Then they were curing this floating algae spore. Mm. So this is the point why they are can inhabit the algae growth. But the mature algae on the rock or wood, because they are so mature, they are not killing, cannot killing on the rock surface algae. So after that, maybe if they are cleaning, they are killing the spore, the spore of the floating algae, they cannot attach on the rock. Then after that, the rock will be more time by time the rock is more clean and
more clean.
Yes, this is the
But the thing with rocks and especially green spot algae or green dust algae, I experienced is that you clean the glass, you clean the rocks, you do a water change, and just 2 or 3 days later the algae is back.
Mm.
So you, once you clean it off, it is floating in the water, and then it settles back to the decoration materials.
Oh.
And if there is twin star, the bubbles would destroy the spores floating in the water. So I think when you have algae on the rock, then you have to brush it off to clean the rock, and then the twin star will eliminate the spores in the water. Is this correct?
Yes, because the green algae on the rock and on the wood, many people, different kind of people can accept different kind of some algae on the rock, because some idea, just like ADA, they say that some
patina, it looks natural.
Yes, natural. Don't kill it. Don't clean it so tidy. If the things is tidy,
if it's too tidy, it looks artificial. Or
yes,
it looks newly set up.
Yes,
yeah.
We accept a little bit algae growing on the rock and the driftwood. So the twin star, once installed in the tank, you no need to look after the tank, look after the twin star, because the device and the water have a sensor. If the water level is not quite good, the bubble will come out automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, the green spot on the glass wall is lesser and disappear for a long time. Then, in other words, if you're cleaning the green algae weekly, then you can maybe you can only clean the algae for 1 month or just
okay.
half month.
So it really reduces the maintenance work.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So it sounds very promising, and I have already used one myself, and it really helped against green dust algae on the rocks and on the wood and on the glass. So, and very promising new product.
Yes, and also can have a significant plant growth.
Excuse me, what?
The plant growth, promote the plant growth.
Okay.
Because the producer said that they can have, how to say that, the trace elements in the water after the twin star startup, the trace element in the water will be not a rearrange, it's React Active.
What happens then? They're becoming more available to the planes?
Yes.
Oh, you mean maybe because trace elements, they are chelated, they are coated, so they stay longer in the water. So, for example, the fertilizer you use on a daily basis is coated very little.
Yes.
And the one you use on a weekly basis, it is coated very strong.
Yes.
So this coating disappears with TwinStar and the fertilizer becomes more available to the plant.
Yes, because the main characteristic when in after installing TwinStar, the water will be more clear than before. So maybe the photosynthesis action in the tank is much stronger. Then they can absorb the trace elements and the fertilizer. Then the photosynthesis rate is growing very well. So I think that this kind of action is like a link to promote the plant growth.
Okay. And what about the bacteria? Because it also helps to prevent fish and shrimp disease.
Yes. Yes, the same philosophy, because there is some kind of the bad bacteria in the tank, so they can also kill like the green spore, green algae spore in the water, so the water is much more...
The same principle.
Yes, healthy. But the producer say that for the fish and for the... plants and shrimp is different model. The substances on the device is different.
Okay.
But in my experience, when I using the fish, saving fish device, so-called Super S, it still have the function to killing the green spore algae, green algae spore.
But it's not that effective.
It's not the main significant effects, but I still thinking, I still observe, after observation, it's still working.
Still working.
Yes.
And in the reverse way, the nano version, which is for...
The nano version is for the planter aquarium.
Yeah.
Yes.
And does this one also kill the bad bacteria or the, I don't know?
This one, I don't know, but from my client, after using this products, for example, nano, they said to me the texture and the little fish in the tank is much more active and can stay longer.
Healthier.
Yes, healthier.
Okay. Well, good. Very nice. This product sounds very good to me, and I already made some good results with it. So I really hope it will soon become available in the US and all over the world.
Sure. Because this device, I find that is, they claim that, and also the purpose of design of this product is, for example, we are aquascaper and also a hobbyist before. Many think that after set up a tank is hard or a long way to make the tank mature and easy to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the starter beginners found that it's hard to maintain and going well, then they maybe didn't play this hobby after. So if you, the main purpose to design this TwinStar is helping the beginners to much more easier to reach a high level of the standard of the tank.
Yeah, to get into the aquascaping.
Yes, yes, yes.
To master the first steps and get things growing.
Yes.
Right. Well, we've heard enough about TwinStar. I think it's a nice product. And about yourself, you are one of the world's best aquascapers.
Thank you for fine kindness.
No, really. Maybe you would like to give sort of advice for beginners. Of course, TwinStar, yes, but something else, how to get into it, how to make steps, and how to improve, simply.
basically, there are several kind of achievement. For example, if a beginner to buy some white stuff for the aquascaping is the important things. For example, the lighting system.
How much light do you recommend? If it is lumen per liter or if it is watt per liter or per gallon, we will calculate it later on. Do we have any recommendations? Do you use high light, which is like 1 watt per liter, or do you use less light, or does it depend on the layout?
For my experience, in the old day, the theory is 1 liter, 1 watt. But in my opinion, is because I have some experience, is not putting so strong light in the water. It's much more easier to grow the plant at the early stage.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using the stem plants and also the red plants, then the light output is much more important.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for a beginner, don't touch this level. Just using the
0.5 watt per liter, something
yes,
like this.
Yes, just a
moderate level.
Yes. Don't put so strong light intensity into the tank.
Yeah.
And there's the water temperature is also very important. Just like we are living in Asia in the summertime, the chiller is a must-have item. It's must-have because we are keeping the plants almost at the level of 25 degrees Celsius. But in Hong Kong, the main room temperature in summer is always over 30 degrees Celsius.
Okay, which is a no-go for tropical
plants. Yes, sure. So it's for many people to switch on the air conditioner in for the plants is so expensive. So the economy way is linked with the chiller.
Okay. So you
also the another point is CO2.
Yeah, I wanted to get back to the basics.
Sure.
Yeah, you said the lights and I interrupted you with the amount of light and CO2.
The CO2 is the must have item.
Must have.
Right? Yes, because no CO2. I think I mean the CO2 is have a cylinder and the regulator's one. It's not the liquid because
in a pressurized CO2.
Yes. Because the liquid one you can have the same effect, but not so effective.
I think you can't reach the high concentrations like
sure.
20 or 30 milligrams per liter.
Sure.
Okay.
This is fine. And also to find out. Using the substrate is also very important.
Which substrate do you recommend?
I'm just using ADA products. So ADA
okay.
for me is a best products, best soil.
Okay, so soil as a substrate.
Yes,
so
and also at the lower level, at the lower first step is the under the soil, we put it some... we call it just like the ADA power sand.
Okay.
The power sand is not is a base a fertilizing base for the tank, but also can help a little water movement in the substrate.
Oh, you mean because of the bigger gaps between the...
Yes.
Okay, so we have some movement in the substrate. Okay.
Yes.
So if I sum up, you say for the beginners it's important to get the right equipment from the start. So the lighting is important, the substrate, yeah, soil, fertilized, and the CO2. And
the main point is I mentioned above is to make a good aquascape, you must be a good how to say that is a water plant lover. You must grow water plant in very well. then you can change step into the aquascaping. Because aquascaping is not just aquascaping. We are aquatic plant aquascaping. Yeah. So aquascaping is well...
So I think that you try to say the first step is try to learn how to grow plants.
Yes.
And then the next step is to get them into the shape and to combine them with nice hardscape.
Yes.
But you know, beginners, they are always they hurry a little. They always want fast results. So maybe there is a compromise.
This,
so
you
maybe
know,
start with easy plants.
Yes. Sure.
Don't make goals which are hard to achieve. Make small goals which are easy to achieve.
Then I will try to advise using some shade plants, for example, the moss.
Shade plants.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
The moss, Anobius, the little one, Anobius mini, because nowadays the trend is making the nano tank.
Mm-hmm.
Nano tank for the beginners is appropriate because you can success to keep the plant in a shorter period.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are did not succeed, then you can restart in a faster way. Just
So sorry for the interruption. There was a recording mistake, and you said that you recommend to start with nano tank.
Yes, because the small tank can be easier to achieve a finished aquascape. But if you
smaller tank, you need less plants, less hardscape, and the technique is
and also the hardscape scaling is easier to handle because
it's more affordable, so people can get all the equipment they need.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe one last thing, just a couple of random questions and very short answers. What is your favorite tank size?
For me, is 120 cm tank.
So 120
by 60 cm depth, and the height is 55 cm.
55. Okay. Yes. What is your favorite plant?
Plant.
Yeah. Which is your favorite plant?
This is a hard question, but I like the shade plants.
The shade plants.
Yes, because it's low maintenance.
Low maintenance. Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
And
you are the professional. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Once you start with the some client works, you have to keep that in mind.
Yes.
Easy maintenance.
Yes.
And your favorite hardscape material?
Driftwood. Mainly driftwood, but driftwood plus some rocks.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And are there any other persons in the aquascaping hobby who are inspirational to you?
Mainly,
Mr. Amano?
Mainly Mr. Amano. But I think it's the point is I know many different countries aquascapers just like you. Many people can have many inspiration for me because there is Chinese slang said that three people working together must have a teacher in it. Do you know what meaning?
If they're all three?
Yeah, for example, three people is just walking around.
I mean three, I understand.
Three.
Okay.
Three
the
people
number
is walking.
Of three.
Number of three people is walking. Then should be one is your teacher.
Okay.
So this meaning is when we are talking, we are, for example, is just like talking, then maybe my words can inspire you and your words can inspire me. So we're
learning from each other.
Yes. There's no the permanent teacher and student. Maybe they will turn over.
I think it is a nice phrase for to end this interview.
Sure.
Thank you for taking the time, and I hope you will come back one day with the podcast.
So thank you. Hope they understand what I'm talking about.
Of course. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, I think that was a great, great interview. Probably one of the ones that I have enjoyed the most, Yudis, that you've done. And I think it's a great ending there, you know, sharing and learning together, which is a little bit about what we're doing here, right?
You know, just listening to this interview again, because I made it already some time ago, I remember the situation during the interzoo and how it was talking to Mr. Dave Chow. As I started with aquascaping a couple of years ago, he was already there and he was already kind of famous. And today he is one of the role models also for me. And he's very professional, and it was, I don't know, kind of very, I really miss the words, you know, explain how the feeling was talking to him. It is like talking to, I don't know, to Steve Jobs or somebody you always were looking for, you know, to talk to him and mimic his maybe works or his layouts. And I made not only the interview with him, but I spent, I think, maybe hours at the Twinster booth talking with Dave Chow and other guys. He was not the only one from Asia. It was very, very interesting how they work together. They're very, very close to each other. Yeah. So they have those groups where they meet every week, and they exchange information and share knowledge. And I really miss this even in Germany. Still, we have a lot of aquascapers here, but I don't have the opportunity to meet with people who feel the same about aquascaping and talk to them. Yeah, and they have those groups, and this is something really great.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think, first of all, Dave Chow, I'll have information on him in the show notes so that people can really get to know who he is. But those of us that have been around for a while, he has been very, very influential and has done a lot for the hobby and is a tremendous aquascaper. So it's funny, he looks up to Amano, right, I guess. So there's this line or lineage of aquascapers that people look up to who have been very influential. But I think at the end of the day, his last comments, which I think you're echoing here, the sharing of knowledge, right, amongst people and interest and discussion is very important. Asia is very big into this hobby. Maybe some other countries are not that much, so maybe it's easier over there, but I think it's important, right? So hence, I mean, one of the reasons why I'm doing this podcast and speaking with both of you is to try and learn and to share and to share the journey of learning in the hobby. But enough about Dave Chow. He's wonderful, and we should have him back talking about aquascaping because it's great, all of the tips that he gave and his thoughts for beginners. But what do you think about the product, TwinStar? You used it. I didn't know you had one.
Yes. And the interesting thing was, before I talked to Dave, I was only thinking about the point of fighting algae, eliminating or reducing the spores in the water. And after talking with Dave, I realized there is much more what this product provides and how it benefits the aquarium. It was a little bit difficult to find the correct expression during the show. The trace elements, they are chelated, and this is, you know, when you do weekly dosing. It's to prevent the iron, for example, to become unavailable for the plants. So it has to be chelated to still be available for the plants on the day number 3 and day number 5. But in aquascaping, with the daily dosing, the iron and the trace elements, there are already very little chelated. But with TwinStar, it becomes them available to the plants immediately. So, I don't know, you could even dose, I don't know, every couple of hours, maybe if you have a dosing machine. So it really delivers the nutrients to the plants just in time with this gadget. And the other one, giving so much oxygen to the water, it benefits the filter bacteria. So the filter capacity, or I don't know, the quality of the filter increases. So, and the quality of the water, it becomes really crystal clear. So on every tank I'm running TwinStar, I might have some algae issues. As Dave said, it doesn't eliminate algae. It reduces the spores, and it helps to prevent some kind of algae when you use it from day one. But on an existing tank, even if you have little algae on there or over there, but the water itself is really crystal clear. You don't see any little bits floating around. So it really improves the water and the fish. They look healthier because they get much more oxygen. And it reduces the... it is not the bacteria, but... the spores which can cause fish disease, it also reduces them. So the fish are healthier, they are less likely to become ill. And this is so great about this product.
JJ, any thoughts?
I've seen it a couple times. I haven't actually, touched one, but it looked pretty interesting to me. I was a bit of a skeptic, but, since... knowing somebody that's actually tried it, I might be willing, I'd be more willing to use it now. But if it definitely helps with the allergy issue, that would, that helps a lot.
Yeah.
I think the key point is what Dave said. Yeah. It is not the all-in-one and the ultimate solution which eliminates all algae. No, it simply helps to extend maybe the cleaning intervals. So, you don't need to clean the glass every week, maybe every other week. And it helps to improve the overall quality of the aquarium.
And what is it exactly that's being injected in through it?
There are two metal plates, and there is some electricity, which and those plates are coated with I don't know what. And it creates a little, very, very tiny oxygen bubbles. And these oxygen bubbles, there are, let's say, sort of activated. And they are activated for maybe just a couple of seconds, or maybe, I don't know, part of a second, half of a second or 1/100 of a second. So they are not... this aggressive as, let's say, UV sterilizer. So they're only active for a very short period of time. And those bubbles, they simply kill or destroy the algae spores and other negative spores in the aquarium.
Yeah, from everything I've read, seen, and listening to Dave and yourself, to me, it seems almost a bit like a sterilizer. It definitely will function, I think, as a tool that will assist you in your algae management of the aquarium. And in particular, I think for beginners that are having a tough time dialing in or maintaining a constant routine that would keep algae in check. I think that this does offer a bit more buffer for them.
Yeah, I do think so. Well, I'm now testing this product or having it in use for half a year by now. And for me, which I really see where this product works is, I don't know, how is it in the US with the silicate in water? Do you have it?
Sure, some areas.
Yeah, you have silicate. They use it to protect the pipes.
Right, and right. Leads to diatoms here.
Yeah. Yes, and silicate is the main cause of diatoms, or diatoms. How do you pronounce it?
I pronounce it diatoms. JJ, what do you think?
Diatoms.
All right.
Diatoms, okay. So at the beginning of the year, I set up an aquarium where I just used tap water, and there was a lot of silicate in it. So the test showed me maximum more than 6 milligrams per liter. And with a TwinStar, after I installed TwinStar on this aquarium, I made so after week 2 or week 3, the diatoms disappeared. And I kept it inside for, let's say, 2 months. Then I took the TwinStar out, and now the diatoms again appear. Not that strong as at the beginning, but they appeared after. So I can say for sure that the TwinStar eliminates the diatoms very effectively.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, one thing that occurred, maybe it has nothing to do with it, but Yudis, did you ever read Hans J., I'm going to pronounce his name as Krauss, but I don't know how it's pronounced in German. I believe he is or was German. K-R-A-U-S-E, I think is the last name.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever read his work?
No.
Okay. He has a couple of books out, which I have. They're from the 80s or maybe even early 80s. He wrote many magazine articles, I believe in European or German magazines on the hobby, and one of his theories was the was oxygen, the role of oxygen in algae management, if I recall correctly, or the growth of plants. So I'm wondering how TwinStar, which what seems to be to me sort of a, like an electrolysis mechanism releasing very pure oxygen from the water, basically splitting water up, plays with the theories that he had there. I'm going to look that up. And anyways, I'll put links in the show notes. Books are in German, so it may take me a while to go through them. That was my thought. And, you know, guys, I do want to get into this episode your thoughts on algae management. I think it's very important for beginners. But let's go a little bit off the schedule here and talk quickly about the from the forum section, because the two threads that I've pulled really have to do with TwinStar, which is what we're talking about now. So the first one is called TwinStar ... What is it? And it is a 29-page forum post on the UKApps.org forum. So UKApps.org forum. And one of the posters, interestingly enough, found the patent, what seems to be the patent for the TwinStar, and has gone through it trying to understand what it does, how it's built, etc. And another poster got an answer from TwinStar, and of course posted it on the forum, dealing mostly with green algae. And I think, as Yuris just stated, this TwinStar, it doesn't claim to be the answer to algae. You put it in and you have no algae. That's not the case. So they go in this response, which, again, I'll link to that particular post, into good practices, which we'll get into here in a little bit. But then they go and talk about a little bit of the supplemental benefits that TwinStar will give, which is very much in line with what Yudis has stated. The thing that I found interesting in this post is that they give percentages of how effective TwinStar is on certain types of algae. So let me just quickly go through it. They basically said effect on kind of algae. Hair, thread algae, 95%. Brown algae, 90%. Blue-green algae, 80%. Fuzz algae, 80%. Green dust algae, 80%. Green spot algae, 85%. Black or red brush algae or beard algae, no effect. So I found that interesting, if in fact it did come from the manufacturer, that they've run experiments to see how effective TwinStar is on the different types of algae. Now, what do you think about that? Because my thoughts, without having used it at all, was that this product may be very effective against floating algae spores, such as green water or green spot algae or green dust algae when you scrape it off of the different materials and gets into the water column, and then it's killed by this product. That I can understand. But when we're talking something like, you know, hair algae or the other types that are really plant-like almost in their the way they are, I'm hard-pressed to see how this could be that effective, but apparently there's been some testing going on that shows it is, in fact, effective.
In fact, I can't imagine how they measured those numbers. And to be honest, been using this product for quite a while. On the one hand side, I see it really works. I can see the result within 2 weeks. On the other hand, I see only little result. So I think there are more components which work all together. And even we're talking about green dust algae, I believe there are, I don't know, like 10 or 20 different types of green dust algae. They look all the same for us with our human eyes, but if you would put them under the microscope, you will see they're different. So I believe you can't say like this, they work like this for this algae and like this for that algae. And as Dave said, it really hardly reduces the amount of the already existing algae, especially those which is sitting on the surface, like let's say black beard algae or stekhon algae or hair algae. The easy thing with green dust algae is, rather it is on the glass or on the rock, you can brush it off. And all the spores are floating in the water. And while they're floating in the water, they're killed by the TwinStar. That's why it's so effective in this kind of algae. So when you have, let's say, green hair algae, the TwinStar will help stop the growth of this algae on new spots. But the spots where it already is growing, you have to change your water parameters or do other changes to your system to eliminate them. So it will only support you on or protect the uninfected areas.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how I think it works. Yeah, and those numbers, 90%, 85%, 80%, I think it's more or less, marketing, and it doesn't come from TwinStar itself.
Mm-hmm.
TwinStar itself says it helps to reduce, and they do say it helps to reduce mostly green type of algae and has almost no effect on the black type or whatever. But the shop owners, they invent, I don't know, stories and facts which doesn't exist to promote and to help sell the product. And the thing is, we haven't been talking about the price of the product. It isn't that cheap. It is like, 150 or 180 euro, which is like $200.
Yeah, or more.
more, 220. Mm-hmm. And this is not something a beginner will buy.
No, absolutely not. And actually, that's a great segue into the next thread, which is TwinStar do-it-yourself the UK apps forum as well. And our friend Tom Barr posted this one. So, you know, when a new product comes out in the hobby, it's not going to be long before someone tries to do it themselves on a cheaper budget.
Mm-hmm.
And this post in the forum, Tom links to a research paper evaluating a similar product that produces mostly hydrogen and pure oxygen. He makes reference to the old days when he did a do-it-yourself of the heating cables. Don't know if you guys remember the Dupla heating cables. But obviously they were expensive and sometimes not available down here, and he was able to reproduce them for about $10 to $20. He goes on to state that the focus around high levels of oxygen explains why my tanks do not benefit from this device. I use wet dries and I have high oxygen to begin with. Such filters are not electronic and cost about the same as a good canister filter. So do wet dry filters kill algae and make the tank easier to set up? I suppose I can make that claim. Victor Lantos is also in the thread, and he makes reference to some professional aquascapers, which maybe you can comment, Yuri. The more clients' tanks we have, the more I value all these units, including UV. Just look at Oliver Knott's installation. UV is a common thing in store displays. Even ADA uses it often. So, again, it's very rare that you can be there all the time to wipe off blue-green algae, vacuum clean plants, mosses, ground, toothbrush decor, etc. This product works to slow all of that down. So, again, we'll have links to this in the show notes, but it looks like it continues to be debated, and even attempts at doing it yourself happen. And are happening.
May I interrupt you? I think Victor's making a very good point talking about client tanks and maintenance tanks. That what I was talking with Dave also during the interview, that's what is a big part of my data business, maintaining client tanks. And, you know, in the past, I was running all those tanks with more than 1 watt per liter, which is like... we have 5 watt per gallon, or what is it?
It's been so long, I've forgotten the rule on the watt per gallon. JJ,
yeah,
so do you remember?
Just overkill, you know?
Yeah.
Using just too much light on all of those tanks. So if they were okay, they were looking superb. But if there was a little problem, they turned within 2 days into a mess. And if you're running a client aquarium which you maintain only once a week or every other week, you don't want to deal with the angry customers. So the first thing I did, I slowed down with the light. And with the time and with the amount of aquariums and with the experience I collected, this is a thing Oliver Knott is already doing for, let's say, 15 years. So he's ahead of all of us with his experience. And on new tanks, I started to using UV and TwinStar from the start, because if client is spending a couple, or let's say 2,000 or 3,000 euros for a new aquarium, he won't start saving on 200 euro on a device which can make things easier. So on every new installation, I'm using UV and TwinStar because it simply makes things easier.
And the UV you don't think is impacting the availability of nutrients in the water?
The UV and the nutrients in the water is the same as a twinster. It destroys the chelating of the iron.
Mm-hmm.
I use dosing machines that gives nutrients on a daily basis.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm not providing nutrients even multiple types per day. You know, I can simply divide the daily dosage into 12 dosings and give nutrients every 2 hours. And I have almost no problems with the, you know, nutrient spikes and lows and no problems with the UV because there is a constant flow of nutrients.
Yeah, I've set up recently a dosing system automatic for my tank. Well, let's leave that for another show. But
yeah,
JJ, any thoughts?
You guys seem to know a lot more about it than I do on the Twin Star. I was going to, you know, it's funny that you mentioned Tom Barr. I was going to say earlier that, you know, he's a big proponent to the high oxygen tanks anyway. But I don't think, like you guys keep saying, a Twin Star, it's not going to be just the, you know, stick it in there and it's going to solve all of our algae problems. You know, there's other things that you have to do to prevent these from popping up and rearing their ugly heads, you know?
Right.
You know, you have to do your daily maintenance or your weekly maintenance. You have to keep up on that. You have to keep up on your water changes. It all comes down also to your lighting, how many hours you're doing per day. And it's 1 watt per gallon, for the record.
Right. There you go.
For the liter, I have no clue.
And that's a great segment, I think, or segue into what I want to do here with getting our thoughts on algae management very quickly. I do want to say, as the lawyer of the group, that we are in no way affiliated with Twin Star or the manufacturer Twin Star, and we did not get compensated by Twin Star for this podcast and talking about them. I wish we had, to be honest, but we haven't. So it's totally independent. All right, guys, here's my thinking. Why don't we do a round table? Just going around the table very quickly. I'll start with Yudis, then go to JJ, and then I'll chime in with my thoughts. I'm going to name a type of common algae in the aquarium, and then you tell me how you deal with it. What are your thoughts on it, and if you've experienced it. If you haven't experienced it, hey, you know, hit the pass button, okay? So here we go. Blue-green algae, or otherwise known as cyanobacteria. Yudis.
Yeah. So if you have this algae at home, what really helps is turn off the lights, cover the tank, like, let's say, dark period. That really is what helps if you have it at home. If you have it at client's place, and it is in a public place, you can't do it. And the only thing that works there is antibiotics, which is not available on the market in Germany. In other countries, there is no problem to buy such things. But in Germany, it is not available. And there are some products on the market that work more or less effective. So something that works is manual collecting with a tiny hose, you know, disturbing the blue-green algae because it is bacteria. And if you disturb it on a daily basis, it will give up and maybe disappear. That's what a shop owner told to me, who is very, very experienced guy. And what I tried and which worked for me on multiple tanks is using Bacter 100 from ADA. I usually use it for the substrate system. But if you have cyanobacteria issues, first remove manually as much as possible, lower the water level, and then spread it over the affected area on the water surface, and then it will drop down it by itself to the bottom. And then good bacteria will fight the bad bacteria. Also using things like Phytongit with a syringe or Easy Carbo in the affected area sometimes helps.
Okay. JJ.
I've always, I can't say always, a good friend of mine, Ed down there in Miami, really experienced guy. He told me to, you know, this one time I had a real bad breakout, and to use the, I don't know, I forget the name of it, but it was for the ick remover. And okay. it comes in a little package, and I think
Malicide, I think. Malicin or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes.
He told me to use that, and you know, I did, and within 2 days, it was completely gone.
Yep. Antibiotic.
Yeah.
What is it?
I think it's Malicin or Malicide is the...
Malicin, Malacyn, I believe, right. Or I-N. Or,
it is an antibiotic, or what is it?
It is an antibiotic.
It's for ick.
And it's branded for ick. Yeah, and easily available here, Udi's.
Yeah.
Most pet stores, even the big box. Even the big box ones have it.
Yep.
All right, my turn. Cyanobacteria, if you got it, you know you got it. It looked like slimy stuff all over. Could be different colors. Pull it out, get a handful of it, smell it. You're going to smell what it smells like. You'll never forget that smell.
Yeah.
It's nitrogen-fixating bacteria, so your nitrogen levels are going to drop. So watch your plants. You're going to be seeing some nitrogen deficiencies. Pump in some potassium nitrate to compensate. I agree with Yudis on poor circulation. I've never seen it in my high flow areas, so I do try and maintain high flow across the aquarium. Blackout is the traditional method that I've known, a 3-day blackout in your home aquarium. However, I've never tried it. I do have reports that using Excel or hydrogen peroxide on the areas will kill it. And lastly, whenever I get it, and I just got it on my new aquarium, erythromycin, antibiotic. It's the product, I think, in Maricin that JJ mentioned. That's my go-to weapon. So I use, I follow the package dosing. Within a week, it's gone, never comes back. Let's move on to the next one. Yudis, hair algae.
Yeah, hair algae is mostly caused by lack of nitrogen and or excessive phosphates. So what I do excessive dosing of nitrogen and increasing CO2 or these things, or maybe using some easy carbo or Excel, but mostly the excessive dosing of nitrogen what helps the best.
JJ.
Just to add on to what Yudi said, it's manual removal also, and making sure you do a good water change after you do that.
Using bamboo sticks for manual removals.
I like to use a toothbrush. I put a toothbrush on and just spin it like you're eating spaghetti.
I agree with both of you, so let's keep going. Fuzz algae, that's that little algae that sticks to the leaves and makes them look fuzzy.
I have no idea how to fight them.
Yeah, I haven't quite figured that one out myself. I know some stuff I try to, you know, like if it's on Anubias or something like that, you know, and it rubs off pretty easily.
Yep.
You know, or I'll try the toothbrush method and then, you know, keeping up on the water changes on that. And also just maintaining your dosing, making sure you're putting in your nutrients to help your plants or eventually is your biggest, helper in getting rid of your algae. So,
yeah, just my thoughts on it. I don't know a whole lot about it either. I hate it when I get it. I do think it impacts the plant's ability to uptake nutrients by disrupting the cuticle of the plants. I think it may have something to do with low CO2, but I'm not sure. I haven't proven that by observation in my tanks anyway. The only thing I know that will take care of that is increasing CO2, as I mentioned, and also Siamese algae eaters, SAEs, are reported to eat some of that.
They're not always conducive to planted tanks.
Right. Yudis, green spot algae on the glass or on leaves.
If I remember correctly, they come from excessive potassium K element. And just being careful with the K dosing. So simply reduce it or, that's the only thing I know. I don't have it very often, but yeah. It mostly disappears by itself. And, you know, I clean the glass once every week. So doesn't appear too much in my tanks usually.
JJ.
To my understanding, it's a lack of PO4. For me, when I get it every once in a while, it's just an aggressive cleaning. We're talking about the one that gets on the glass, right?
Right.
Yeah, to me, it's just like an aggressive keeping the glass clean, wiping it, you know, doing your water change right after. And that's the important thing, and let's go back to the spores and the floating around in the tank. After you scrub it, so that's why it's important to do a water change after that. And it doesn't even hurt if you go up to like say 80% or 90% water change when you're doing them, but making sure you're wiping down the inside of the glass before you put the new water back in. But that and just making sure you keep your PO4 levels up.
I agree with both of you. Maintenance on the glass, for me, it's important to do an 80% or 90% water change afterwards, that you take all of that stuff that's floating out as much as you can.
Exactly.
Cleanup clue. For me, Otto's, Otosynclus, and the bristle nose, Placo.
Nerites are good at it too.
Nerites, exactly. Guys, Yudis, green dust algae. Now, this is the one that is not so much a spot, but more like a green film on the glass.
Yeah, so what helped to me was excessive, before I used TwinStar, was excessive cleaning, making multiple water changes right behind each other, you know, like changing the water out, like, I don't know, like flushing the aquarium through. So to get all these pores out as much as possible, excessive easy carbon, XL dosing, so I really, really struggled with this green dust algae. And you really have to clean the glass as often as you can, and then it will disappear. And what I heard on the internet and tried by myself in the past on one of my aquariums is to keep it and not to touch it. And then it will run through, let's say, different stages, and after 2 or 3 weeks it will start to disappear by itself as long as you don't touch it. When you touch it, you will release new spores to water column. So don't make no water changes, don't do anything on the aquarium, just keep it like that, and then it will start to disappear by itself. But it looks ugly, then there's some start, you know, those little holes to appear, but I don't know, it doesn't work for me with client aquariums at all. So,
JJ.
I would have to, you know, go back to what we were just talking about in the previous algae. I've tried that 3-week method, and I don't know, to me it seemed like 3 weeks, it may have been less. I'm kind of impatient when it comes to that kind of thing. So, maybe next time I'll give that 3-week period a better try, I would say. But just cleaning it and doing your big water changes and staying up on your nutrients, your CO2. I think light levels help too. If you cut back on your duration for a little bit. And one thing that I don't think any of us has said so far is that when you start out with a planted tank, I think it's best just to jam as much plants as you can get in there, because again, plants will always if you have a lot of them in there, they're going to outcompete whatever's in there, whatever's helping the algae grow and mature. If you have a lot of plants to start off with, I think this will help combat any algae issues from the get-go. along with good maintenance.
I would like to admit that you can introduce a floating plans or time while introduce something like, I don't know what is called in English, but some stem plants which really grow very, very fast. Just
wisteria.
How?
Wisteria.
Yeah, just simply throw them into the aquarium and let them beat the algae.
Yeah, I'm always surprised how people are so hesitant to really put fast-growing plants early in their aquarium because they don't like the look of them or they're thinking about designing something else. They're thinking the finished aquascape before having a tank that is with growing plants, you know. So you can put plants in and you can take them out. So depending on your stage of the aquarium, sometimes it's easier to start with fast-growing plants. Okay, brown algae, or the famous diatoms. Eurydes.
Mechanical removement and shrimps, like Amano shrimps. For diatoms and nereid snails.
Mm-hmm.
And twin style.
JJ?
Maybe the most effective thing is, which helped me a lot, I started using RO water on most of my tanks. And with the RO, you eliminate already a lot of the things which is in the water. But after the RO, I attached an additional filter with, I don't know, some crystals inside and they take out like everything out of the water and they take out the silicates out of the water. So I make the water as clean as I can, then I put back in some remineral salts and this way I have almost no brown algae issues.
Right. We call it reverse osmosis deionization, so RODI water.
Yeah.
JJ?
For me, it's always been, I like to keep a decent school of autosynclus in there.
Yep.
They do a really good job on it. The nerites. I have a lot less luck with nerites than I do the autos. My nerites don't always seem to, they bite the bullet pretty quickly.
Yep.
Also, the main cause of diatoms is silicates for people who use sand, which is the only time I've ever had diatoms is when I used sand or in a brand new tank. It was when I played with the sand one time. And like Yudi said, manual removal. And I have I forget the name of the filter, but it's a Marineland filter. And I put a micron cartridge in the middle of it, and for 3 weeks or however long it takes me to get those diatoms out, once a day I'll go in there with my little toothbrush, brush
them out,
and the microns, it really cleans them out, and it's always good to have I always had like two or three, that way I could, while one's being used, I can have the other one bleaching. And that way, you always have a fresh cartridge every other day.
Yep. Makes a lot of sense.
I guess that's the equivalent to Yuri's crystals that he was talking about. These things clean out everything. If you 50 or 100 micron, I forget which one it was I had. Mm. But those seem to do the trick, and it does it pretty quickly.
Yeah, from my side, common new tank syndrome, especially if you're not using RO, RODI water. Give it time, manual removal, and autos and nerite snails. And water changes, absolutely. In the beginning, you should be doing lots of water changes. Okay, we just have a few more. Red or black brush or beard algae, Rhodophyta, Eurydes.
You mean the one which has gray color?
And they're longer strands. It kind of looks beard-like.
They mostly appear when you have a lot of debris in the aquarium.
Yeah, organics.
organics, yeah, so just clean the filter, try to get as much waste out as possible, whirl around, do multiple water changes, and if this doesn't help, increase the CO2 and maybe slightly reduce lighting. If this doesn't help, then easy carbo, that helps very fast. I always mention all other possibilities before I mention easy carbo, because once easy carbo or XL appeared on the market, it was you know, a little bit similar as with Twinster, because everybody said, oh, you have some algae, put in some easy carbo and it will help, like, you know, all in one solution. But
right.
People become, I feel that they become addicted to easy carbo, and they they don't know how to handle the aquarium without easy carbo anymore. And sometimes I have had aquariums where easy carbo doesn't help, because I believe the algae maybe became resistant. This can happen as well as with bacteria and antibiotics.
Sure. Yeah, those are good points.
It's a very easy one to
right.
To get.
You don't want to use it like a crutch and not have other good maintenance to keep it away in the first place.
Yeah.
JJ, any thoughts?
To me, it's a lack of CO2. So, you know, like you already said, increase your CO2 levels. It's also, you know, when I have it, it only seems to be in spots where its flow is restricted a little bit.
Restricted or strong flow?
Right.
No, restricted flow.
Restricted flow.
And I see it in my tanks where it's very strong flow.
Hmm.
Huh. Yeah, that's yeah, only time I've ever seen it is, it's funny, you know, one of my tanks that it would have, I had blackbeard algae all in the, right on this one little tree, right in this one little section on a couple of my pieces of driftwood, but I didn't have it anyplace else. And it was on some of my Anubias, it was in the same spot. But anyplace else, it was, there was nothing else. So, you know, all I would do is I'd increase my CO2 a little bit. I'd lower my my Coralia, my power head down a little bit and try to aim for that area. And it's within a couple of weeks, it seemed to take care of itself. And also, on my water, when I do my water changes, I would, you know, use my spray bottle with Excel and hit it a couple times, and that kills it also pretty good.
Yeah, from my side, I too think it's a low CO2 issue. Increasing CO2, I've seen it go away. My SAEs have been good at dealing with that. I guess maybe I've been lucky. I do also think that either Excel or hydrogen peroxide via a syringe or maybe a spray bottle when you're doing a water change, JJ, as you just said, can help. And certainly if it's on rocks or other things that can be removed from the aquarium, obviously the bleach bath will knock it out. But be careful with those. Those are kind of drastic moves. I think improving your CO2 level is probably the first step there. We have two more to go. I know we're running long here, but green water, UVs.
UV.
Period. Okay.
Yeah, it's floating algae in the water, so you yeah.
Yep.
You should use UV. You can use some. It is available from GBL, for example, and it's called Sumic Micro, which is very, very compact filter wool.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a I don't know, piece of paper. I don't know. You can cut it in shape and place it in your canister filter or wrap it around the filter inlet. It filters out this stuff, but for the long term, you need a UV sterilizer, I believe.
JJ?
UV sterilizer. I've only had it one time, and that was long time ago, 14, 15 years ago. But UV sterilizer, and I actually used a chemical, I think it was, that somebody had mentioned to me, and I used it, and I used it the next day. Like, it was gone.
Okay.
I forget the name of it because it was long ago. I've only had it the one time, so.
I don't have it often either. I think there are some products that are designed to either kill it outright, or they're flocculants where they try to bind it and make it larger so that the filter. I think the UV sterilizer, again, will definitely deal with this, even a micron filter. The one thing to watch out here, and I do remember people recommending blackouts for this, a three-day blackout period, but careful with your water changes, huh? I think if you do large water changes here, they're ineffective and even may promote a little bit more. So I would do the water change and try and reset the aquarium once you've dealt with it. The last one, the famous staghorn. This is the one that attaches to the edges of the leaves and looks like a staghorn sticking up really long.
I misunderstood you. The staghorn was the one which I thought you were talking Blackbeard. Uh-huh. Blackbeard is the small bushy one.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what I told before for the Blackbeard, for the staghorn algae, mm-hmm. increasing CO2 or easy carbo works very well. And thinking back to the Blackbeard, I totally mess up now your order, but
right, no problem.
So if I may get back to the Blackbeard,
sure.
Increasing light, I believe, helps. Sometimes I see Blackbeard algae appears where is lack of light or too little light, or maybe areas with just too little light. So sometimes putting on two more T5 bulbs and Blackbeard algae disappears. And now getting back to the...
That's interesting. I've never thought of that, but...
And also Easy Carbo excessively overdosed, like triple dose, helps to get rid of Blackbeard algae.
Okay. JJ, staghorn, you ever deal with that one?
Not really. Not that one. It's always the other ones. So,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Let me hit my pass button.
Yeah. I rarely deal with this one for some reason. Maybe I'm getting lucky. I did many years ago. What I would do is just pull on it. Since it's longer, it's easier to come apart. And then I would treat the leaves just like I would treat it with the Blackbeard algae, which is increasing CO2 levels and trying to get my nutrients reset. Worst case scenario, I do use the syringe method with Excel or hydrogen peroxide. I did try one now that I'm thinking back. There's a product by ADA. It's Phytangit. Is it, Yudis?
Yeah, Phytangit.
Yes, where you brush it onto the leaves. And that seemed to have some effect way back when I used it, but I haven't used that in a long time.
It also works well. You remind me of Phytangit against green spot algae, but you have to make a solution like 50-50 with water or something. Then you can add it on the Anubias leaves to get rid of the green spot algae, for example.
Yep, exactly. I don't know how commonly available that is here in the States, but it did provide some benefit. So, guys, we've been going for about an hour and 15 minutes here. What do you say we save the Focus on You segment to the next time, where we'll get back to Chris and Alex, who have sent us some emails, and anybody else who sends us emails, because we're running out of time here. So how about we start wrapping it up? What do you think? You guys have anything else to add?
Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out to Chris Lewis of the San Antonio Aquatic Plant Club. He's been promoting us on Facebook a lot, and I want to again say thank you for that.
Wow, thank you, Chris. Yudis, anything else before we wrap up?
Yeah, guys, if you are from Europe, the geographical Europe, please don't miss your chance to participate in GAPLC. It is www.gaplc.eu, which is becoming the, yeah, let's say, the most popular and the biggest aquascaping contest in Europe. Just a couple of facts, €7,500 total prize pool, Mr. Amano as head of the jury, live awarding ceremony, and many, many more. So check out the website, like the Facebook page of GAPLC. And yeah, I'm in the judging board, so I would love to see your works.
Yep, fantastic. I didn't know Amano was one of the judges. If you like this episode, please leave us a written review on iTunes. We'll have a link to our iTunes page in the show notes. And mention us the next time you're on the forums. We do absolutely no advertising, so it's the only way we have to spread the word about Scapefoo. It's very much appreciated. If you'd like to give us some feedback, you have choices. You can reach me, Art, via email. It's art@scapefoo.com. At Twitter, I'm @scapefoo. And Facebook, I'm Art Panam. If you want to be on the air, leave us some feedback via our voicemail system simply by going to the website. On the right side of your screen is a tab that you can click, speak into your microphone in the computer, and we will receive a voicemail from you that we can play back. And of course, there's always the Scapefoo feedback page, which is scapefoo.com/contact. You can just go to the site and click on it. JJ, how can people reach you?
My email is jerrybforl@aol.com. My usernames on Planet Tank, APC, the Bar Report is the jerrybforl.
And Yuris, how about you? How can people reach you?
Yeah, just Google for Yuri with JS, which is JURIJS. And I think you will find a lot of results. And on Facebook, it is facebook.com/j.jurijs.
Okay. Lastly, please subscribe to the Scapefoo podcast so that you won't miss an episode. The easiest way to do it is to go right to iTunes, type in Scapefoo, and hit subscribe. If you have an iPhone, the iOS or the Apple Podcast app is very easy to use. In the next iOS version, it's going to be a standard app that you won't be able to remove from your phone. So you could listen to us there, and anytime there's a release of an episode, it'll pop right up. If you have an Android phone, I believe there's a Stitcher app that you can use to hear us in very much the same way. So with that, we will be speaking to you soon. Have a great week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Scapefoo podcast with Art Panam.
If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, scapefoo.com. That's scapefoo.com, to your family and friends.
Be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous podcasts.
This has been an Art Panam production.
Join us next time for another edition of the Scapefoo podcast.